Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to getroman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. From April the 29th to May the 4th, if you deposit on Underdog Fantasy, you'll have a chance to win $1 million in their best ball contest. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Welcome, everybody, to episode 3 of the MLB Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's the first of our Sunday night podcasts. We're going to move to 2 a week. There's so much to keep everyone updated with. And as ever, joining me this Sunday evening, Munaf Manji. Munaf, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you? I know it's 4 o'clock my time, about, 10 o'clock your time. So you're getting some good baseball in here tonight, right?
I made some decisions in the last 10 minutes that I haven't told you about, so I'm going to tell you about them now. I've decided The Sunday evening podcast is going to be a lot more relaxed. So normally, in the spirit of professionalism, I go and sit at the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. But I've just decided not. It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, so I'm on the sofa. I've been enjoying the baseball live tonight. There's already 4 teams hit double digits tonight. We've got the Cubs and the Reds are sitting at 12 all. Mm-hmm. The Twins have hit the 13 runs against the Royals. Yep. The Dodgers have hit 16 against the Brewers. So a bit of a run fest in these ongoing games. That's an extra. It's 12 apiece in the bottom of the 10th. The Cubs and the Reds. So you've been watching a few games, Munaf?
I have. You know, we were talking on the Slack channel that at least in the month of April, run production was down and batting averages and strikeouts were up. And I think it was like historic numbers, but I think starting on Saturday, we were starting to see some more runs being put up, and I think that carried into today. So hopefully, we like watching games that have a lot of run scoring. The general public likes runs being scored, so I think we can get into that in a little bit. But I think some of the teams are starting to bounce back here a little bit.
So why would they be low scoring? Is that a weather thing? There's a lot of games that we've snowed off. Has it been unseasonably cold? Has it been colder than usual?
Yeah, I think that, like you mentioned, that there were, a couple games that were snowed out. As we approach, obviously, getting into May, June, July, kind of the summertime, it's going to heat up, right, all across the country here in the U.S. And obviously that's better for that's better for hitting, obviously, you know, when you have warmer temperatures. And then day baseball, like, you know, you have on, sometimes you have Wednesday day games here in the U.S., Thursday, and then Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on as we kind of progress here through the month of May and then June and July, where it gets really hot here.
Okay. Yeah. You'll have to, they're the sort of trends and things that you're going to have to keep me up to date with. That's something that I wouldn't be hugely familiar with. And I do love that in the Slack channel when the boys get talking about even the win today. I've watched the White Sox and the Indians game earlier on, and it was absolutely blowing a gale from one direction or the other. And the announcers were mentioning how it would benefit the pull hitters from the right-hand side. So that's something that I wouldn't be aware of. In particular parks as well. I don't know if a park would be notorious for being affected by the wind from one side or the other. I know there's a couple of parks that have short porches. The Yankees have one.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got the Monster at your Red Sox and stuff. So they're all things that I'm still learning about moving off. So that's part of your job is educating me as we go.
Yeah, there's a couple weather report websites out there that tell you what direction the wind is going in. I'll send you that once we kind of get off a line here. But before we get started tonight, you want to recap your big, big victory on the Kentucky Derby?
Moonaf, I thought you'd never ask.
yeah, I was going to ask. When you hit a 14-1 horse in the Kentucky Derby, I the Slack channel was really happy. I know Sean and Ryan, they tailed you on that pick, but congrats on the huge 14-1 pick there, man. I love it.
Yeah, it was out of the blue, they messaged me on February the 23rd and they were doing a futures draft. Mm-hmm. And they said, if you got anything for the Kentucky Derby, so I did a 40 minute desktop review and came up with that as the answer. And then last week we did the podcast and we did the article.
Yeah.
And we said on the podcast, we're going to be sitting here on Saturday night asking why we never backed it, because it was so obvious. Mm-hmm. It was the Bob Baffert horse, and it was the horse that was hard as nails. And we're going to be kicking ourselves on Saturday night. And then it came off that turn last night, and one by one, all these horses came and had a crack at it, and it would not let any of them pass. And for a couple of hours afterwards, the Slack channel and Twitter were carrying me around shoulder high. So
yeah,
it was good. It's a good feeling. I was pleased for the boys who backed it. There's a few people tweeted their winning tickets and stuff. Yeah. And I think that buys me about another year of losing picks now. I think I'm in credit for another 12 months at least.
No, I tweeted this to you that you hit a +200 dog for us last week on the Red Sox against DeGrom. And then this weekend you get us a 14-1 horse on Medina Spirit. So hopefully we can carry that here for the rest of the year and going into the future. But that was exciting. Congrats on that win, man. That was really, really, really exciting for I'm sure for you and a lot of our Slack guys.
Well, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So last week's picks, we picked on Thursday night for the weekend. It was all right. We did okay, I think. I would suggest we were ahead. We ended up for the second episode running with a double lock, something that we both picked independently, which was Jack Flaherty against the Cards. And that one came home relatively bloodlessly, Mooner.
Yeah, I think it was a 12-5 victory for the Cardinals in that game. It was a little interesting, you know. I think in the first couple, and I think the Cardinals got out to, I think, a 3-0 lead, and then you know, the Pirates tried to come back a little bit, but then at the end the Cardinals just kind of pulled away, and I think that was another easy victory for us there. So, you know, glad we cashed, glad our listeners cashed, and hopefully we can continue that today and then and for the rest of this week.
Yeah, and then my individual luck got turned over, unfortunately. It was Austin Gomber, which I made a watertight case for. Unfortunately, he did give up some runs. The Diamondbacks scored 6 on him, which on another day might have been enough, but Zach Gallen didn't perform for the Diamondbacks, so they went down. And then my dog was the Giants at the Padres last night. I felt I was a little bit unlucky, to be honest. The Padres got out 3-0 in the first inning.
Yeah.
A three-run homer.
Yeah.
And then for the next 2.25 hours, the Giants just clawed their way back into the game. They got back to 3-2. They left the bases loaded twice, which was frustrating.
Yeah.
And the Padres held on for a 3-2 win. And then I'm looking at the live scores now. And the Giants are 4-1 up on Musgrove in the bottom of the third. So I feel like I feel like the reason was sound, but it is what it is. And it got turned over. You, however, John Means on Friday night.
Yeah,
I talked about Matt Harvey. We talked about it on the pod, whether or not the fade was the right decision. You said not at the moment. Maintain a watching brief on Matt Harvey. You took John Means on Friday and you got the win, Moonaf.
Yeah, that was that one was a little sweat there towards the end of the game. I believe the Orioles, the A's had, I think, either the bases loaded or runners on the corners, and I think there was a bottom of the eighth, I believe, or the ninth even got interesting for them. So Means pitched a great game. I mean, that night, you know, that I think that was the main driving factor for picking that. I picked him up around, I think it was like a plus 115. You could have got it at plus 117. I saw it at some other books, but I know that was another game that we, the boys in the Slack channel were talking about. So again, you know, happy to get that cash and cash for our listeners and the guys in the Slack channel. So, you know, hopefully you and I can keep that momentum going here into tonight's show and then again on Thursday. So let's get into the show for today. What do you think?
Yeah, we've got some picks and a lock each and a dog that we'll give you at the end of the show. So the tally site picks, if you go over to tallysite.com, have a look. And the picks are embedded on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network as well on the MLB button. I've done a little bit like I did last week. I'm sitting at 37 and 43, so I'm not too far behind. Last night, the Sunday night dragged me out of it. I had my 11 and 4 Sunday, so I'm hoping tonight can get me out the woods. You're a little bit more. Are you on? I think you're over. You had a good night last night, Moonaf. You went 10 and something.
Yeah, I think it was like 10 and 4 or 10 and 5. But I think, you know, when we recorded our podcast on Thursday, I was like 19 and 20 and currently up to 30 and 15 since then. So, you know, a good bounce back here. So hopefully everybody's following our picks there. I think everybody's relatively having a good week. You know, Nick has been really, he's been doing well for this season. And you know, Will knows his baseball also. And, you know, we've been doing okay. So hopefully we can, again, continue that in here for the rest of the evening tonight and then get a fresh start on Monday, and hopefully we all have a great week on Tally Site. So, but make sure, you know, to check out our picks on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Like Malcolm just mentioned, just hit that MLB tab. You'll see MLB picks and, you know, picks from the staff at Sports Gambling Podcast Network picking every single game, every single night. So exciting stuff.
Absolutely. There was stuff that's happened over the weekend. We mentioned that there weren't any huge sort of standout series. We had a couple of fun bench clearances that I do enjoy. And the top one, I've just watched the gentleman that we're talking about. He's just pitched again tonight. Amir Garrett for the Reds against the Cubs. I feel like if the Sports Gambling Podcast or the MLB Gambling Podcast were to adopt a player who represents our core beliefs, I think Amir Garrett might be the man, because he's crazy as a coconut, isn't he? In fact, on the broadcast I just watched tonight, they sort of ran down his top five crazy moments as well. Mm-hmm. He had the incident, was it with the Pirates last year?
It looked
like a Civil War painting. Someone took some pictures and made it up into a Civil War painting where he just tried to fight them all by himself. He's local, and he did the same last night. You screamed down Javi Baez last night. So, yeah, Amir Garrett was winning. And then the Mets and the Phillies jawed off at each other. Was it Alvarado? The Phillies gave Dom Smith a little bit. Dom Smith had actually done nothing wrong. And had to be really encouraged into that argument. But, yeah, Amir Garrett particularly seems like a player I can get on board with, Moonaf.
Yeah, I mean, hard, like you mentioned, if we adopted a player for the SGPN, it would be him. But hard-nosed guy, you know, you got to love the passion for the game. And I know on Thursday you had mentioned Javier Baez that just swings at everything or anything. I was watching the Cubs game earlier because I did take the over in that game. I think it was his first at-bat or second at-bat. And he was pitching at he was swinging at pitches that were like 2 to 3 feet out of the strike zone to the left of him, and he's just swinging like a wild guy. But I think the thing with Javi Baez is that if he gets that pitch like center cut right on the heart of that bat, it's gonna go a mile. So that's the way he kind of swings the bat. But yeah, I think Alvarado, like you mentioned, for the Phillies, I think he did get a 2 or 3 game suspension for the antics that they had that game against the Mets. But you know, it's baseball. These things are going to happen. It's always like the fun of the game too. Like we as fans like seeing these benching clearing brawls and you know, this retaliation and having these rivalries in baseball. It makes it that more exciting. At least it does for me.
No, you're right. It certainly livens things up a little bit. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer doesn't appear to be aging whatsoever. Yeah. Complete game tonight versus the Marlins. They won 3-1. I'm trying to think. He had a lot of Ks, 11 or 12 Ks maybe, but he's not slowing down at all, Max Scherzer, is he? Doesn't show any signs of stopping.
No, he doesn't. I mean, you know, this guy's been, he has a World Series champion ring. You know, Cy Young Awards, just trying to see how many strikeouts he had tonight. He had 9 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts and 106 pitches. So an ERA down to 2.54. So, you know, Max Scherzer doing Max Scherzer things like every single year. And it's the pitchers like him are few and far between, especially in baseball. So it's, you know, for him to keep doing this year in and year out, it's simply remarkable to see every single year. So good for the Nationals, especially, you know, with the slow start that Patrick Corbin got out to, but he pitched a great game. I think it was yesterday. And then, you know, Steven Strasburg, I was watching that Nationals game yesterday that they showed him throwing in the bullpen there, and hopefully they can get him back soon. But again, Max Scherzer carrying the way for the Nationals right now.
Yeah, the Nationals have been better this weekend. I mentioned on Thursday I thought the Marlins might be live dogs kind of every night, and it turns out they really weren't. They've done everything they can to get the Nationals back on track. That's been a fairly one-sided series. A couple of injuries. Dustin May, who we talked about in relation to the Dodgers Padres series last weekend, he went down on maybe Sunday night's today. He went down anyway.
Yesterday,
Dustin May, yeah. But the Dodgers should have enough. They tend to have 3 or 4 identikit starters. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the depth and this being the difference between the Dodgers and the Padres. They'll have this depth to replace him should he miss an extended period of time.
Yeah, it was tough to see because I think he threw a fastball and like immediately like kind of like grabbed his arm, or, you know, hopefully it's not a serious injury that requires some long-term injury for him. But, you know, like you just mentioned, we know that the Dodgers have the pitching depth on this team. Hopefully they're able to get David Price back soon. I know he's still going to be out for a couple more weeks here with a hamstring issue. So hopefully maybe by the end of the month, they're able to get David Price back for that rotation. But again, like you said, they still have enough on that pitching rotation with Buehler and Trevor Bauer and Clayton Kershaw and Julio Urías. So more than enough for the Dodgers pitching rotation, at least to, you know, hold the ship steady until they get either David Price back or promote one of these guys from the bullpen as a fifth starter. So, you know, I know Dustin May's on my fantasy team, so hopefully it's something serious for him. But, you know, hopefully wishing him a speedy recovery to get back out there soon.
Yeah, and there's one tonight, actually, in the White Sox Indians game that I watched, and it looked quite a bad one. And this could be a real nail in the coffin for the White Sox. They already lost Eloy for the season, and probably the next most dynamic player, Luis Robert.
Yeah.
were just going down the first baseline tonight, then pulled up like he'd been shot. And they had to help him off the game. He's had an X-ray, which has come back negative. But that, to me, looked like weeks, possibly months out.
Yeah, looking at it right now, it says it was a strained right hip flexor. So anytime, especially in baseball, when you're dealing with a hip injury, you know, hopefully it's not too serious for him. I mean, you know, you hate seeing a team get injury riddled, especially like the White Sox, a team that we were really high on. You know, they lost Eloy Jimenez, you know, at the beginning of the year that we discussed with the pec injury, and then now they lose Lewis Roberts. So, you know, tough sledding right now for the Chicago White Sox. And, you know, anytime a player gets injured in any sport, you know, it's hard to see, especially as fans. So, you know, again, it's just part of the game, but hopefully nothing too serious for these guys that are getting injured. And hopefully they can come back here very, very, very soon for the respective teams.
Yeah. And just in addition to that story, you mentioned for a fantasy point of view, if people do have deeper leagues, then Adam Engel could be a name to watch. Yeah. He will take, well, he's injured actually, but he's due back very soon. You should be able to pick him up on the waiver wire, and he'll play centre field, and he might be able to do some good things. So there might be just a bit of a sleeper there for you to at least put in your watch list. Now, moving off, I've got something to run by you here. Mm-hmm. Tim Anderson. Yeah. Has said before that when he hits a home run, mm-hmm. his wife makes him spaghetti.
Oh, yes.
Seems reasonable. Well, he hit a grand slam on Saturday, uh-huh. So was asked what happens there. And he said, that's Getty in the bank, meaning spaghetti in the bank. Now, do you think that's something that we could possibly use? I mean, how are you feeling about Getty in the bank as a catchphrase?
That's I didn't catch that. I know that's another guy that I have on my fantasy team. I might have to change my team to Get in the Bank instead of what I have right now. But hey, that's something that we can probably use as a segment or something as maybe something a lock pick that we have a good feeling about. We call it getting in the bank.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm going to squeeze that in later on. That's coming back. That we have not heard this episode.
I know where that's going.
So, we normally at this point we have a little discussion point, and I messaged you earlier on, and we'll say, "What do you think?" And you suggested the AL West.
Yeah,
and I looked at it, and you're absolutely right. It's fascinating. It's a really fascinating market.
Yes.
There's not been an awful lot of change. The five teams don't have bad records. Four of the teams have winning records. Texas isn't too bad, although I think it will get worse. But the odds haven't changed an awful lot from the preseason market. So Oakland and Houston were both plus 138. They are both now plus 135, so negligible changes, really. Oakland have a 16 and 12 to Houston's 15 and 12. The Angels have drifted a tiny amount, plus 350 to plus 370. And Seattle have actually come in from 28 to 1 into 16 to 1. So as it stands, you're getting the same bets available that you were getting at the start of the season on Oakland or Houston or even the Angels if you fancy them. So you can now make your decision 1 month into the season, Moonaf. What decision you'd be making and why?
I'm quickly looking over here on the stats so far for these AL West teams. And I mean, I don't want to sound like a homer because I am in Houston, but even though I am a Sox fan, I think Houston is the way to go here. I mean, I know we can get to each team here, you know, just breaking down this AL West, but right now, Houston is a number 10 in team ERA in the entire league. And then you kind of take a look at their hitting stats. They are currently number 4 in the entire league at a 253 team average. And I know you put some notes on our little show doc there that there's, what, 4 guys that are batting above 275 for this team?
For Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a stark difference between the two lineups, the Oakland lineup They've got, let me have a look. They've got Chad Pinder and Matt Olson batting 302.96. Mm-hmm. And then it absolutely falls off a cliff. Mark Canna, 253. And then all the rest, 242. So the fifth most prolific bat is hitting 234. Auckland really have been, it's been a tale of two streaks.
Yeah.
And that they started 0-6 or 1-6 and then went one. Did they win 12 or 11? Or
I think it was 12 in a row.
12, yeah. They won a lot of games, but the underlying peripherals don't really back that up. And it's the same with the pitching. The bullpen actually looks all right. I've got no problem with the bullpen at all. But the starters, so Sean Manaea is good. He will continue to be good. ERA of 2.8. Beyond that, Cole Irvin has done okay. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago in relation to a DFS play, but an ERA of 3.67. That'll go up. Chris Bassett, nah. Jesus Luzardo can't put together back-to-back starts, good quality starts. He was all over the place last night. I put him up. I played him in DFS and instantly regretted that. So I'm just really not buying into it. And the difference with Houston was really stark. You just mentioned they've got a lot of those bats who are, where did you say they were, sort of 10th in average? Or
In the entire league, they're number 4 in average. Let me just double check that real quick. But I mean, you know, we know what this Astros lineup is capable of. Yeah, they're number 4, 253 in the entire league. We'll get to the Angels here in a second here, but kind of going back to the Astros team, you take a look at their best, their very best guys in their lineup. You know, we'll start there with Michael Brantley, 24 games, 94 at bats, he's batting .330. Yuli Gurriel, 27 games played, 98 at bats, he's batting .327. Yordan Alvarez, I think this is a bit of a surprise for me, at least his batting average. I know what he's capable of with his power. He's batting .313. Alex Bregman, .286. Carlos Correa, .283. Jose Altuve, who can be one of the best players or hitters in the league, at .260. So their core guys, their main everyday guys, when you have guys that are batting and have a batting average like that and getting on base and hitting for power, you know, this is going to be a team to reckon with. And kind of looking at their pitching also, number 10 in the entire league as far as team ERA. Obviously, they're missing Justin Verlander, but you take a look at some of the other guys with, you know, starting with Zach Greinke and Jose Urquidy and, you know, Christian Javier. They're a big bright spot this league. Lance McCullers, who had a great outing against his Rays this past weekend. So, you know, they got off to a hot start, but they kind of fell off because they were dealing with some COVID issues and some injury bugs and things like that. But now they have all their guys back. So this might be a team that you kind of want to play on, you know, going forward into this month when everybody's healthy. They play the Yankees this coming week, Monday, I think Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's going to be an exciting series here to start the week between these three, two teams. And Gerrit Cole, I believe, takes on the Astros on Thursday. So that's going to be, my eyes will be glued to that game for sure. You know, Gerrit Cole going up against his former team. But, you know, like I said, you know, this Astros team, I think right now is probably the class of the AL West just because they have both balance on pitching and offense. You know, I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the Astros. I didn't want to sound like a homer here because, you know, I am in Houston, but I kind of want to get your thoughts on the Astros.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think there's a direct comparison between the two teams who are evenly priced to win this division. I think Houston jump off the page an absolute mile. Six hitters batting over .275 compared to that Oakland lineup that we just said. You get past the top three and they're all .230, .240. Yeah, and the pitching that you just mentioned as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I kind of looking at their bullpen, that it was a little problem for them last year. You know, it's been better, obviously, than last season, but, you know, they're still kind of middle of the pack with a team or bullpen ERA of around 4. So hopefully that continues to get better for them. I think the one team that I am concerned about pitching all around is the Los Angeles Angels. And we take a look at their, you know, stats. They're dead last in team ERA at 5.06. We know what their offense is capable of, led by Mike Trout and Otani and Pujols and Upton and Rendon. Right now, they're the best hitting team in the entire league. right up there with the Red Sox across, you know, pretty much all of the statistical categories. So I'm not sure. Again, we had talked about this in the season preview show, is that they did nothing, absolutely nothing, to address their pitching this season. I mean, outside of Otani, who do they really have in this rotation that's going to kind of be that ace or the second or third guy for this rotation?
Yeah, it must be so frustrating because they're not far away. Like you say, they were 5-2 shots to take the division. Really, it's there for the taking because they don't need to be a 100-win team, I don't think, to take this division. Oakland and Houston are beatable. And they've done nothing. Shohei Ohtani is elite. Does run that injury risk, but he does go down. You faded Griffin Cannon last week, and rightly so. ERA is 6.2. Yeah. Andrew Heaney's 5.25. Dylan Bundy's 5.2. And then you're looking at Jose Quintana, probably the most boring pitcher in baseball. it's nothing. And even the bullpen's it's so average and so middle of the road. And this was so avoidable. I mean, we're talking about it from the season finishing last year, right? Yeah. Okay, and there was a load of pitchers. They all went to San Diego, and the Angels just go and fetch one of them or two of them. And this seems very, very predictable. We probably said all of these things on the preseason podcast.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, just going back to the Astros and the Athletics is a match. FanGraphs playoff predictor, which is normally a very accurate indication. They have Houston as 66% likely to make the playoffs and Oakland at 37%. And this is two sides that you get at the same price. I mean, I don't think this is a complicated play. If you've got a few quid lying about, I'd be investing on the Astros because that's a big price, and I can see even in a month's time they'll be odds on, and they'll be minus odds. They won't be plus odds for long.
Yeah, I think this might be right now probably one of the last times, maybe the season, where you see the Astros this big of a dog for the division at +135. I think, like you mentioned, that they may be, you know, getting to that range of being even money to win the division, or maybe even getting to the minus territory. I know they had a big series this weekend against the Rays. I know they lost today, but going back to this Angels pitching rotation, Griffin Canning is their leading pitcher with the most wins on this rotation, with 2 wins as a starting pitcher. So if that's not an indication for this front office or in this general manager to get a quality ace pitching on this rotation, when you have an elite offense like the Angels do, led by, like, the names that we said, with Mike Trout, Rendon, Otani, Upton, Pujols, David Fletcher, you need to address that ASAP. And you know, if you're going to be a contender in this league and compete for a championship, you need to go out and get pitching for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. We can touch on Seattle because I quite like... Whenever I seem to, because I'm normally in bed when the games are going on, especially the West Coast games, I'll catch up with everything in the morning. And the Seattle games always seem to be a load of fun. They always seem to be, there's rallies, there's comebacks. They play a kind of small ball. They have a lot of players, the steel bases. Sam Haggerty's just made his way to the top of the order. Dylan Moore, who's been struggling a little bit for playing time. He steals bases, JP Crawford. And then Kyle Lewis, who came back recently off the IL, went straight into the cleanup spot and started hitting. Taylor Trammell, rookie. They're a really fun team to watch. They haven't got an awful lot of pitching. We talked about Chris Flexen last week. Justus Sheffield is going tonight against the Angels. Actually going all right. Top of the fifth, and the Mariners lead the Angels 1-0. So Sheffield's doing all right tonight.
Yeah.
I like the Mariners. They're a fun team to watch. I do get the feeling they've got a massive skid at some point. They could easily go on a 10-15 game skid just because of the amount of young players. And I'm not sure they were fun last year as well. Shortened season, obviously. And how sustainable it is without the amount of senior players. They don't have much in the way senior players beyond Kyle Seager, Mitch Haniger can stand there and smash it every now and again. Yeah. But beyond that, it's all a little bit, it's cobbled together, it looks to me.
Yeah, you take a look at their kind of the elder men on the on this team, and the oldest guys, at least on the offensive side for this team, like you said, Kyle Seager at 33, Tom Murphy, their catcher, is at 30 years old, and then Mitch Haniger in right field. But other than that, Kyle Lewis, 25 years old, J.P. Crawford, 26 years old. Most of their eldersmen are on that pitching rotation. So I think the theme for this AL West division is really pitching, right? Especially exception of the Astros, the Rangers, the A's, the Mariners, the Angels, primarily, again, pitching issues. This division, I think, because of the lack of pitching, at least from a betting standpoint, you kind of might want to take a look at, you know, maybe playing overs on this division because of, again, like I said, lack of pitching and the good batting power that these you know lineups have. So you know, maybe a betting point for there, that's something to keep an eye on for this AL West division.
Yeah, even the names that aren't really up yet, obviously they've got Jared Kelenic to come, Jake Fraley hasn't played that much, Ty France is doing really well. I do like Justin Dunn. I end up watching a lot of people who were sort of at the arse end of my fantasy team. But doing that, you will end up with someone on your radar that you don't, that wouldn't necessarily be on your radar. Like Justin Dunn might not be someone that you instantly think, oh yeah. And Justin Dunn's never far away, and I think he's capable of a breakout. He's 25 years old. He's another youngster. So we could be having this conversation about this lineup. It could be the same lineup in 2024. And then we'll be taking them seriously. So yeah, Seattle, a fun team to watch. The 16s from 28s does nothing for me. It's an indication. It's a little nod towards the fact that they've done okay. But and then finally, if you want to touch on Texas, I've got one thing to say about Texas. But they were 40s and now 200s. They've actually won 12 games. They're 12-16. But the 200-1 on Texas Moon off. Are you emptying your wallet on that?
Not at all. I'm not. No. We hate the Rangers down here. It's a rivalry. It's a rivalry with those guys up there in Dallas in the Arlington Fort Worth area. But definitely not. The funny part is that, you know, that the Rangers are in a new stadium, and everybody down here was saying that they pretty much copied Minute Maid Park, at least from the design standpoint. And I kind of looked when they designed it. I went back and looked at it, and it looks pretty similar to what Minute Maid Park is where the Astros play. But I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, nowhere am I going to touch this Rangers team. No way. But at least I think the two bright spots for at least just the one bright spot is on their pitching rotation has been Kyle Gibson for this team. You know, 2.16 ERA. He is 3-0, 33 innings pitch, only giving up 8 earned runs in that time. You know, 1.5 wins above replacement. So I think that's been the one bright spot, at least for this, for the pitching rotation for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. If Kyle Gibson is your pitching bright spot, then you're in a spot of trouble.
A lot of trouble, yeah.
So, I mean, I think what I have mentioned about the Rangers are they can occasionally be a fun DFS lineup in that the batting order from sort of 2 through 6, low. Joey Gallo, Nick Solak, the Garcia as well, and then the catcher Trevino, Walden, Bits and Bob. So if it's a night where you're spending up on your pitchers, if you take a couple of stud pitchers, then the middle of that Texas lineup will score you some runs. As it happens, Moonaf, big Red Sox fan, aren't you? Just gone final, Red Sox 3, Texas Rangers 5. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, I think, you know, this was... I want to see who's pitching tonight for the Red Sox. I didn't even get a chance to see who was pitching tonight. Garrett Richards got the start. He had a pretty good outing. You know, he went 5 innings, 4 hits, only giving up 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. So he kept this team in the game. It was kind of the bullpen that, you know, kind of gave this game up. And, you know, the Rangers scored 3 in the bottom of the 8th there. I actually did pick the Rangers today. on Tally's site there. So, you know, it's okay for the Red Sox. I mean, they're still 17-12, 9-4 away. You know, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Rangers. I mean, I'm not too concerned about that, but now they get to, their schedule kind of eases up here for the Red Sox. You know, they have 3 against the Detroit Tigers where they should kind of take care of business and be able to score runs in their series. But, you know, good effort by the Rangers this weekend to, you know, be one of the better teams in the American League so far this season.
So as far as wrapping that up then, I mean, personally speaking, I think Houston are a absolute steal. At +135 is a very, very appealing price to me. That I would advise anyone with a couple of spare dollars to invest that, the 135. You agree, Munaf?
Yeah, and then also, yeah, 100% agree. But also keep in mind for this Astros team is that they're probably going to get Framer Valdez back here very soon to that pitching rotation. That's only going to make them, that rotation, even better and probably bump one of these guys in that starting rotation down to the bullpen, which adds an extra arm. Or I don't know what the case might be, whether they start with Framer Valdez, a pitch, you know, out of the bullpen, and then bring him back up to the into the starting rotation. But you know, that's another key guy in this for the Astros. Getting a guy like that back into their rotation is going to be absolutely huge for them.
WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 risk-free sports bet. T's and C's apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. If you want some of that +135 then on the Houston Astros, get yourself across to WynnBET. Use your match bonus. Get involved. Roman.com. If you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. If it's bothering you, there are options. Get to roman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A US licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just get to roman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. It's Getty in the bank. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check it out. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around. Even better is their NFL Draft Weekend Special. Sign up between April the 29th and May the 4th. You'll have a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. When you go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN, you'll get $25 free, which you can use to enter their Best Ball Mania tournament. SGP will be running private best ball drafts for the listeners as well. This is a limited time offer that ends May the 4th. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Better than Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what degens only care about, sports betting. We're giving out free daily video picks over our Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They've got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. Make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. So moving off, we move on and it's picks time. So, early slate of the week, Monday up to Thursday. A lot of probable pitchers not yet declared by the teams. We'll be looking to get out of these Sunday day games and get where they're going. Locks, dogs, Munaf, we'll let you go first today. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I think there's some intriguing matchups, or at least here for the early part of the week. I know Thursday we'll get into the weekend ones, but I think I quickly want to highlight there's a couple ones that I'm going to keep an eye on. Obviously, I mentioned the Astros and the Yankees, and then the Dodgers and Cubs should be exciting. And then I think the other one was the I think the Mets and Cardinals is going to be intriguing a little bit. So, you know, those are the kind of three series I'll be watching this coming, you know, week to start the baseball for this first month, or sorry, the first week of May. But going back to my lock here, I think I'm going to go tomorrow night going to the Los Angeles Dodgers, visiting the Chicago Cubs. And I'm going to take Walker Buehler taking on the Chicago Cubs tomorrow night. Pretty sure that he should be favored here, especially with the Dodgers offense. Going back to Walker Buehler this season, I mean, he's off to a good start, but I'm kind of looking at his historical numbers against the Cubs. I think that this Cubs lineup has pretty much, you know, stayed the same since that 2019 season. Obviously, there's lost some pieces, but we take a look at Kyle Hendricks' one start. I think he was going to be the opposing pitcher for the Dodgers, and one start against the Dodgers in 2019, one start, four and a third inning. He gave up six hits, five earned runs, two home runs in that 2019 start. But more focus on Walker Buehler in 2019 and two starts against the Cubs. 12 and two thirds inning pitch, seven hits allowed over those 12 innings, and he only gave up three runs in that time. And then, you know, Walker Buehler, he's gotten off to a decent start here for the Dodgers. I'm trying to quickly pull up his stats for this season. Give me just a quick second here. Here we go. So he started four and one on the season. He started five games. You know, he had a rough outing Tuesday against the Reds. He went six and a third, gave up five earned runs. But, you know, the Reds offense is one of the better ones in the league so far. But I'm taking Walker Buehler against the Cubs here tomorrow night as my lock.
Yeah, that was the game I looked at as well. I wasn't sure how short Buehler would be just because the Cubs have been so bad. But yep, maybe the fact that Hendricks is on the hill might just make the price value enough. I've a strange relationship with Kyle Hendricks because as someone not with a lifetime grounding in baseball, and you watch a game now and 99 times out of 100, it's a couple of flamethrowers. Everyone's reaching back and trying to throw 100 miles an hour. And Kyle Hendricks doesn't do that. Kyle Hendricks, I believe, is a bit of a throwback to when pitchers would sort of paint the corners with a plethora of curveballs and sliders and circle changes and all sorts of things. And I had Hendricks on a fantasy team last year. He's another one that you get to know these players more. And you couldn't relax. You couldn't sit and watch him because every pitch looks like it's about to leave the stadium because he's throwing these things at 78 mile an hour, 81 mile an hour, and absolutely beautifully. And now this season, because I didn't draft him anywhere, I could really enjoy watching him. Yeah. It's a lot more relaxing experience just thinking, oh, mate, you're going to have to throw it a bit faster because someone's going to smash you out the ground in a minute. Yeah. But he's an artist. He's really good. He's been a little bit ropey this season. A couple of teams have got to him. Mm-hmm. And again, the Dodgers just seem to be running into a little bit of form. Loads and loads of runs tonight. What was the 16 they stopped at? They won 16-4 tonight. But I think they can get to him. And to add to that, the fact that the Cubs are poor. But yeah, but I didn't go with that. I've got I'm going to give you my lock and my dog, and they might seem counterintuitive.
Okay.
On the Tuesday, I took the Twins against the Rangers, which is J-Hap against Gibson, who you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's a 1.96 ERA taken on a 2.16 ERA. Both are unbeaten. I think the 3-0, which I think will make it a viable price. But again, the Twins, it's a risk taking the Twins because I keep getting them wrong. They're one of the teams on tally site I keep getting wrong.
Yeah.
They've won 13-4 tonight. But on all known form, they should have too much. I can't see Gibson keeping this up. I think at some point, it's going to unravel. And the Twins are the kind of team who will just unload on someone like they have done tonight. I hope I haven't caught them 2 days out. So I'm going to be locking up the Twins against the Rangers. And then that'll take me straight onto my dog, which is on the night before the Monday night, I'm going to take the Rangers against the Twins. There you go. So, I mean, we got this right last week. We did Padres over the weekend. So this time I'm taking Rangers Monday, Twins Tuesday. And it's Dane Dunning, rookie. I think he's still a rookie, versus Kenta Maeda. Maeda's given up 3 home runs in consecutive starts, which is the first time he's ever done that. Now, Dane Dunning started really well, started the season well, gave up 1 run over his first 15 innings. Has had a couple of rough outings, which is fair enough. He's just a young guy. But I'm going to back the bounce back. And like I've just said, the Twins are hard to predict. I mean, how stupid is that? I'm sitting here telling you the Twins are hard to predict while simultaneously predicting 2 of their games on consecutive nights. I mean, howie. So, that's where I'm going. But listen, on Wednesday or Thursday when we talk about it, you say, mind you, got those two right. Rangers on Monday, Dane Dunning is the dog. Twins on Tuesday. Jay Happ is the luck. You got us a dog, Muna.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to the same dog I had last week. I'm not sure if he will be a dog. It might be close to even money, or maybe, you know, you'll be able to get some plus money. But I'm going to go back to John Means on, I believe he's taking the mound on Tuesday against the Mariners. He may be, I don't know, I'm hoping he's a dog. Maybe the market hasn't caught up to that, but I think he is going, let me double check, John Means against the...
Might be Wednesday, I think, maybe.
I think it's Thursday. Let me check. Give me 1 second. Thursday. I think it's Wednesday. I don't know why I'm not seeing it, but I'll get that posted on my
Twitter. Yeah, it's Wednesday. I've got John Means Wednesday.
Okay, there we go. So, I don't know why I didn't see that. But, you know, going back to like his last start, I think he's the ace for this Orioles team. You know, Orioles, I think the reason why I am back, and they are taking on Kikuchi, but he's off to a decent start. He had a great outing against the Astros. But the Orioles are number 4 in batting average versus lefties so far this season. And, you know, with John Means on the mound, I think that's primarily the reason I am backing the Orioles, because this guy has been pitching well so far this season. I'm just going to continue to ride that hot hand. So give me the Orioles against the Mariners on Wednesday. John Means on the mound against Kikuchi. That game is going to be a 3:40 Eastern start. So it'll be Wednesday afternoon. So when we record on Thursday, hopefully we have some good results, you know, for our picks.
Yeah, you've in the show notes here, you put something else up as well. You liked it over on Monday, Munath.
Yeah, this is another game that I had kind of circled. You know, Matt Moore and the Phillies are taking on Adrian Hauser and the Brewers on Monday, tomorrow night. I mean, Matt Moore, you kind of take a look at his numbers and what he's done to start the season. It's really bad. Against the Cardinals this past or on the 17th, 2 2/3 of an inning, five earned runs, six runs, 4 hits. He gave up 5 walks, 2 home runs. A start before that against the Atlanta Braves, he went 5 innings, 9 hits, 5 earned runs, another 2 home runs. And then against his first start of the season against the Mets, 3 1/3 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks. So, you know, the Brewers have guys on offense who can hit. Phillies also have guys that can hit. You know, Hauser's been pretty decent for this Brewers team. I do like that. Hopefully it comes in at 8.5. So I do like that over. Possibly also take a look at the Brewers team total for that game here tomorrow night against the Phillies. So that's one that I did have circled. Now, quickly trying to pull up Adrian Hauser's numbers here. You know, against the Marlins on Tuesday, 5 2/3, gave up 5 hits on 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. He's been okay, but I think I'm really fading Matt Moore here against the Brewers. So I think if you find a 4.5 team total for the Brewers, I certainly would take that against Matt Moore.
Yeah, Matt Moore has been in the COVID protocol, so I'm not sure if that means he's had it or he was just kind of a contact something. So unsure if they'll activate him. So keep an eye on that. He might I don't know if he'd be activated from the COVID protocol. But yeah, that might even he wouldn't have been able to do an awful lot of work. He might even be doing some work at the alternate site or or something like that. Yeah, so that's a good steer, Munaf. And I believe that has brought us to the end of the show. Yeah. It's been fun. We need so yeah, I think we hit a home run in week one. Yeah. We've done all right. Last week you picked up your luck and your dog. I picked up my luck. My dog went down the pan. But yeah, the Tallysite picks will all be up there on tallysite.com or via the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. So have a look on there. The DraftKings game is still going every night. My mate from Newcastle up here, he's won three times this week. He's 3 for 7. And he knows less than me about baseball. So he keeps messaging me, keeps telling me he's dominating is the word he used tonight. Yeah. I know, yeah. So we need a few more competitors to take him down a peg or two. So if you get yourself in the Slack channel or have a look on Twitter, we'll often post links on there to the games. Get yourself at $2 and it's good fun. And we can trash talk each other in the Slack channel too.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll be back on Thursday night to record. So we'll try and get that out overnight on Thursday, ready for the weekend slate of games on Friday. Munaf, it's been a pleasure. Sunday sofa relax, Joe.
Yep. Quickly for Thursday show, I did speak to Will earlier. He will be on the show with us on Thursday to, you know, go over his MLB takes for the season, and hopefully he has some DFS stuff, but we will have him on the Thursday show. So a three-man show on Thursday, that'll be exciting to have Will on, and hopefully we can catch some bets here to start the week, and you know, looking forward to the Thursday show.
Yep, look forward to speaking to you, Munaf. Thank you everybody for listening. Have a good week. We'll catch you on Friday. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.